Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, March 31st, 2020. Coming up this hour.
States across the country ramp up measures to contain the spread of COVID-19.
Deaths in New York surge as cases across the country pass 160,000.
In Washington, Congress and the White House begin work on a fourth stimulus bill to stem the fallout.
Governors in the tri-state area asked for medical volunteers across the nation to help fight COVID-19. Plus, the pandemic brings abortion to the forefront. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, former Knicks Stephon Marbury's reach goes far beyond basketball in an unprecedented move in college sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are higher this morning, pointing to possible gains for the fifth time in six sessions. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 18 points, Dow futures up 158, and NASDAQ futures up 81. The DAX in Germany is up 2.3%, CAC in Paris up 1.5%, and the FTSE 100 up 2.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.9%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 1.9%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 0.70%, yield on the 2-year 0.23%. NYMEX crude oil up 5.7%, up $1.16 at $21.25 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.1% or $18.40 at $16.24.80 an ounce. The euro 1.0980 against the dollar, and the yen is at 108.46. Nathan.
And Karen, we begin this morning with the latest on the spread of COVID-19 and corresponding lockdowns in states across the country. Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. are the latest to issue stay-at-home orders as U.S. coronavirus cases pass 160,000. The next month will be key for stemming the outbreak, according to President Trump.
Challenging times are ahead for the next 30 days, and this is a very vital 30 days.
And now we're learning the White House has considered issuing a nationwide stay-at-home order. The matter has been discussed, but the president says there are no plans to go through with it at the moment.
If we do that, we will let you know, but it's pretty unlikely, I would think, at this time.
Stay-at-home orders allow people to leave home only for limited reasons like buying groceries or medicine.
Meantime, the White House and Democrats in Congress are getting to work on a fourth stimulus bill to stem the fallout from the outbreak. Here with details is Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern.
The White House says, according to people familiar, that they've been discussing with agencies, and the total will be about $600 billion. This will be for state aid, financial instruments for the mortgage market, as well as potentially another injection of direct checks to Americans. Nancy Pelosi said they're collecting information and taking inventory. A possible move would be getting rid of the limit on state and local tax deductions, but already a Republican said that idea is a non-starter.
Many priorities outlined by House Speaker Pelosi were part of an alternative stimulus bill proposed last week. Those measures, however, were rejected by Senate leaders in negotiations with the White House.
Confirmed COVID-19 cases worldwide now number 780,000 as the virus continues to spread through Europe and the U.S. We have Bloomberg Radio team coverage on the latest, beginning with Bloomberg's John Tucker live in New York. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. New York City continues to be the epicenter of this outbreak, reporting a 16% increase in fatalities over just 6 hours. Statewide, there are 66,000 infections. That's accounting for 40% of nationwide cases. Still, there's a glimmer of hope. Governor Andrew Cuomo says the rise in infections is slowing and the hospital discharge rate is rising.
We have a range of anywhere from about 1 week for the apex, some people saying another 21 days. Some people say the apex is about half of what the others say. That's one of the things that's so bedeviling about this.
Researchers at the University of Washington predict the U.S. outbreak won't peak for another 2 weeks. So far, deaths across the U.S. number almost 3,000. I'm John Tucker in New York, and now for the latest on the outbreak in Europe, here's Carolyn Hepker live in London.
John, thank you. Here in the UK, we have 22,000 infections, though there are concerns over the amount of testing that is actually taking place. Italy, though, remains the epicenter in Europe with cases eclipsing 100,000. The country is considering extending lockdown measures as fatalities pass 11,000. France is reporting its most deaths in a day. It's third in the region for fatalities with 3,000 victims. Spain is number two, closing in on 8,000 deaths. The World Health Organization expects infections in Europe to stabilize soon, saying that outbreaks in Italy and Spain could be nearing their peak. That's the latest from Europe. In the meantime, in China, we're getting economic data showing that the worst may be over for the outbreak there, as Chinese manufacturing shows a strong rebound. For the latest on that, we turn to Bloomberg's Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
The PMI surged to 52, crushing an estimate of 44.8 and well above last month's 35.7. But that comes just as orders tank from the United States and Europe. And even China says companies are facing a lot of pressure. That was borne out by new export orders staying in contraction mode. Still, a win is a win, and the outlook is improving at home. The services PMI, 52.3, up from just 29.6 in February. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. Upbeat data for sure, but it did little to boost stocks in Asia overnight. Equities in the region finished the session mixed. And here with details is Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Japanese equities and the yen fell as end of financial year positioning in Japan saw dollars in demand. The Nikkei 225 closed lower by 0.9%. Financials were the laggards. Sentiment in China was boosted by better than expected PMI data for March, although analysts were quick to point out it is too early to read too much into the jump. The CSI 300 closed higher by 0.33%. Over the quarter, the MSCI Asia Pacific Index was down more than 20%, the biggest drop since the third quarter of 2008 to hold at December 2016 lows. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. As we enter the last day of the month, U.S. stocks are set for their worst quarter since 2008. The Dow is down 21%, the S&P 500 lower by 18%. The worst performer on the Dow is Boeing, while only one member of the index in the green. Microsoft is higher by 1.6% on the year. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. Now let's bring in Michael Barr with the latest on efforts to stem the coronavirus here and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has put out an urgent plea for medical volunteers as coronavirus deaths in New York City mount and hospitals are overwhelmed. The death toll in the state is above 1,200.
As governor of New York, I am asking healthcare professionals across the country, if you don't have a healthcare crisis in your community, please come help us in New York now.
Authorities say it could be a preview of what other cities across the U.S. will soon face. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says he's grateful for the medical professionals who have come out of retirement or have had volunteered their services to join their colleagues in the fight against the COVID-19 pandemic.
As of right now, we have had 3,611 individuals respond to this call, and we're incredibly grateful for their selflessness and patriotism.
There are more than 16,600 cases in New Jersey of COVID-19 with about 200 deaths. In Pennsylvania, Governor Tom Wolf says there is no set time for businesses and schools to reopen in his state.
Our business and school closures will no longer have a set date to resume normal operations. But until now, I've been saying another 2 weeks. Now I'm going to leave the date indefinite.
The San Francisco Bay Area shelter-in-place order will remain in place. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
San Francisco Mayor London Breed says at least another month.
Should definitely plan to stay at home, and this process and what we're doing here will continue until at least May 1st.
She says to protect public health, and she says people, for the most part, are practicing social distancing. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A legal battle over abortions during the coronavirus pandemic continues in Texas. The state's attorney general claims the procedure is not essential and uses up vital resources to fight the virus. Federal judges in Ohio, Texas, and Alabama have blocked orders banning non-essential medical procedures from limiting abortion access during the outbreak, a win for abortion rights activists. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Now time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Former Nick and native New Yorker Stephon Marbury could lend a major hand to the fight of the coronavirus right here in New York. Marbury, a coach in China, is trying to coordinate efforts to help China sell at a discounted rate 10 million masks to the boroughs of New York City. It's not as easy as it sounds, though, according to Marbury in a video conference interview with Mark Spears. There's a lot of red tape.
You got to go through the whole, you know, the legalities. You got to go through the pyramids for them to sign off there. You got to give them the sample. You got to let them see it, touch it. It has to be N95. We got all of that. Now we just waiting to just get the last part. We handling all of the paperwork, give them the mask, let them see it, which the mask comes from a huge factory here in China. I mean, and then after that, we go from there.
Marbury originally said he was told weeks ago Brooklyn didn't need masks, but they've since reconsidered and are reaching out. Marbury has family in the area, including many relatives on Coney Island. A different form of tampering, perhaps, facing the NFL? That's if you ask free agent safety Eric Reed. He wants the new collective bargaining agreement invalidated over language added after the pact earlier this month was signed. He's calling for both a revote and an investigation. His lawyers said language posted on the Players Association's website on March 15th contains different language from the one that players signed off on. The new CBA kicks in this season for the next 10 years. And in an unprecedented move in college sports, the NCAA ruled to give all current spring athletes one more year of eligibility because of the pandemic and all the championships this year, including March Madness, that were canceled. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. We're seeing a lift to U.S. equity futures and European stocks as we close out this rough first quarter. S&P futures higher by 19 points. Dow futures up 165. NASDAQ futures a gain of 87 points. The 10-year's up, 6/32, yield 0.70%, 2-year treasury yield 0.23%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2020 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are climbing along with U.S. stock index futures for the fifth time in succession, spurring investor debate over whether the meltdown has ended given the continued spread of the coronavirus. Treasuries are advancing. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 21 points, Dow futures up 182, NASDAQ futures up 90, the DAX in Germany is up 2.4%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 0.71%, the yield on the 2-year 0.23%. NYMEX crude oil is up 5.8%, up $1.16 to $21.25 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1.1% or $18.40 at $16.24.80 an ounce. The euro 1.0980 against the dollar, British pound 1.2342, and the yen is at 108.42. The VIX is at 55.41. And today we get a look at home prices from S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller. That's at 9 o'clock Wall Street time at 10. It's consumer confidence and Conagra Brands among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Stay-at-home orders remain in place for many states as the coronavirus crisis continues. Bloomberg's John Tucker has more in this live report.
Michael, New York City emerging as the new epicenter of the pandemic, reporting a 16% increase in deaths in 6 hours. There were 914 deaths from the virus as of yesterday afternoon. The city has over 38,000 confirmed cases. Governor Andrew Cuomo says the rise in infections, though, is slowing and hospital discharge rate rising. Now, worldwide, cases have topped 786,000 with almost 38,000 dead, according to Johns Hopkins. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you very much, John. President Trump told reporters he believes the next 30 days are important for flattening the curve to stop the outbreak of coronavirus. North of Seattle is the latest example of how infectious the virus can be. A choir met March 10th for rehearsal after the outbreak had started. They tried to practice social distancing and used hand sanitizer, but 45 of the 60 who attended are infected, and at least two have died. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Michael. It is just before 5:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Ben Emmons joins us on this final morning of the first quarter, head of global macro strategy at Medley Global Advisors. I'm sure a lot of investors would love to close the book on this horrendous first quarter, I think it's safe to say, Ben, but I wonder what you think could be in store for the second. Do you think we've seen bottom?
Good morning, and thank you for having us. Well, the bottom is maybe somewhat premature because we do deal with a very difficult situation, and you know the economic data that starts to be released this week will show the extent of the damage that the virus is doing, right? If you take, for example, consumer confidence today, likely going to decline a lot, so there's still a lot of issues on the ground. But there were a few developments, I think, that were comforting for markets, right? Of course, we've seen record fiscal and monetary stimulus, and now markets also understand what maybe the most dire scenario of this virus could be, as it was confirmed by the scientists. So as the administration took more measures to stem the spread, the markets get a little bit more hopeful that indeed will happen, that the spread will slow, and that by the end of the month into May, things maybe start to normalize again.
So what indicators do you look at to try to determine whether the worst is at least starting to be over? Do you look at the traditional indicators? Do you look more at the health side?
I think it is a combination of looking at market indicators, as in there's money that was moved too much into, say, money market funds comes back into stock funds and bond funds, et cetera, right? So re-engagement of investments, investors. And then, obviously, of course, the data itself, the virus data, that shows indeed the various areas that the curve is flattening. We have some hopeful sign on that, by the way. The outbreak in Washington State in Seattle is showing now real moderation, so that's a good sign.
What is the positive PMI data that we got out of China tell you? Does that give you some kind of model to look at that could indicate where Europe comes out of this, where the U.S. comes out of this?
Yeah, I think it's a good point because, you know, ultimately, you know, in the beginning, we didn't want to go with the way China did, right, by full containment and really shutting off the economy. But now we're doing more or less the same, and in Europe you see the same. So if you look at the China data overnight, yeah, it collapsed initially and now completely rebounded, right? And that does indicate that this is indeed a phenomenon where you shut off the economy and turn it back on, and then hopefully you can recover from there. So I do think that that is an important point of data last night to show that how to deal with this virus, right? Shutting off the economy and then, you know, stemming the virus and then turning it back on.
How concerned are you about the possibility of a second wave, and how do you hedge against the possibility of markets testing their lows again?
Yeah, that too is, of course, the risk. And although, you know, the scientist, Dr. Fauci, right, who's, you know, very important to listen to, it has given markets that maybe somewhat comfort to say, like, we're going to be much more prepared for the second wave in the fall because we have all this equipment built and all this preparation. Nevertheless, you know, you do have to keep in mind that the data in particularly African countries that now starts to show also increases of cases there will become the next sort of focus point for markets in terms of, yeah, there's still spread across the globe of this virus, right? So there could be some more tension in the future, there's no doubt.
Are there certain sectors or parts of the world where you're feeling more comfortable taking on risk at this point?
So it's once again a situation like in 2008, but as governments step up the efforts to support businesses, those are probably the best bets at this point, right? Like, so in our case, for example, in the United States, we have a lot of effort for the airline sector. So the airline sector eventually will recover. Will be an opportunity, I think, in the future for investment. We can also look at all the companies that are stepping up in terms of helping the economy, that are not only the pharmaceutical companies, but also several of these, say, FedEx and a bunch of other of those, those are probably also interesting opportunities. But by and large, I think it's that kind of a combination of like defensive healthcare type companies that working towards the vaccine and government support for companies to stay afloat, say the airlines in this case.
Thanks for this, Ben. Good talking with you as always. Ben Emmons is head of global macro at Medley Global Advisors. Looking at markets right now, they are on the rise as we head into this final day of the first quarter. S&P futures building on their gains now, higher by almost 23 points now. Dow futures up 204. NASDAQ futures a gain of 100 points. DAX in Germany is higher by 2.5%. CAC in Paris a gain of 1.4%. The 10-year is up 6/32 now. Yield 0.70%. Two-year treasury yield 0.23%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Daybreak is brought to you by the New York Community Trust, a public charity working with generous New Yorkers to make an impact on the issues they care about. To set up your fund through the New York Community Trust, visit nycommunitytrust.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and European equities are climbing for the fifth time in six sessions. That's spurring debate over whether the stock meltdown has finally ended. Tobias Lefkovich is chief U.S. equity strategist at Citigroup.
I do think some of this bounce back is a little bit overdone in the very near term. Clearly, there's been some good news in the form of getting fiscal stimulus, significant monetary stimulus. We've come back a very far way, but there's still, unfortunately, a fair amount of bad news that we're going to have to tolerate.
And today, that bad news comes from New York City, the epicenter of the U.S. outbreak. For the very latest, we bring in Bloomberg's John Tucker live in New York. John?
And Nathan, the city's reporting a 16% increase in fatalities over just 6 hours. The city is nearly 60% of New York State's 66,000 infections. Still, there's a glimmer of hope. Governor Andrew Cuomo says a rise in infections is slowing and the hospital discharge rate is rising. Researchers at the University of Washington predict the U.S. outbreak won't peak for another 2 weeks. So far, deaths across the U.S. number almost 3,000. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. As the virus spreads, the White House and Democrats in Congress are getting to work on a fourth stimulus bill to stem the fallout. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the measure will include funds for cash-strapped states and more direct payments to individuals. Here with more is Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern.
The total will be about $600 billion. This will be for state aid, financial instruments for the mortgage market, as well as potentially another injection of direct checks to Americans.
Speaker Pelosi aims to have a bipartisan bill ready to go when the House returns from recess April 20th.
Well, meantime, in China, we're getting economic data showing the worst may be over for the outbreak there as manufacturing shows a strong rebound. China's official PMI rose to 52 this month, up from a record low of 35.7 in February. Still, Beijing warns the single-month data don't necessarily mean the economy has returned to normal level.
And again, S&P futures are moving higher this morning, up 21 points. Dow futures up 185 and NASDAQ futures up 94. The DAX in Germany is up 2.6%. The CAC in Paris up 1.4%. And the FTSE 100 is up 1.9%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 0.69%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.23%. NYMEX crude oil is up 6.1%, up $1.23 to $21.32 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1.5%, or $24.90 at $16.18.30 an ounce. And the euro, 1.0977 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York State remains at the epicenter of the COVID-19 pandemic in the U.S. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the handwriting is on the wall saying the state's health care workers will not get through this crisis without help from their colleagues across the nation. Cuomo says other states can expect outbreaks as bad as New York's.
I'm asking other healthcare professionals from across the country, come help New York. And by the way, we will reciprocate and we'll be there to help you when you need help.
and they will need help.
The number of dead in New York State climbed past 1,200, with more than 910 in the city. In New Jersey, health officials there say they are working to get more beds, ventilators, and personal protective equipment for when the worst of the pandemic hits the state. New Jersey Health Commissioner Judith Persis-Shelley.
Do we have enough PPE? The answer is no, and we know that. We haven't had enough PPE for a long time, and I know that I think from the workforce perspective, that's the thing that is concerning them the most. Do I think we'll have enough ventilators? I do.
Coronavirus cases in New Jersey jumped to more than 16,600. More Americans are using home delivery services because of COVID-19 concerns. Some Instacart workers walked off the job demanding better protection, hazard pay, and better sick leave policies. Amazon employees in New York also walked off the job protesting their work conditions. A Tampa, Florida pastor has been charged after he continued to host large church services despite public orders urging residents to stay home to help contain the spread of the virus. Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister said Pastor Rodney Howard Brown has been charged with two counts, unlawful assembly and a violation of health emergency rules.
There were more than 400 people gathered, and he not only put their lives at risk, not those hundreds of parishioners, but how about the thousands of people in the Tampa Bay area community that are now at risk as these parishioners return back to their neighborhoods?
Federal judges in Texas, Alabama, and Ohio have temporarily blocked efforts to ban abortions during the coronavirus pandemic. Attorneys general across the U.S. are sparring over whether the worldwide public health crisis justifies temporarily shutting abortion clinics down. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Former Knick and local high school legend Stephon Marbury is coordinating a deal for boroughs in New York City to buy masks from China at a discounted rate of less than $3 per mask. Marbury was a former player in China and current coach. He's experienced firsthand the game stopping and trying to start back up again after the war with the coronavirus, and he paints a bleak picture.
I think, you know, personally, I think that it's going to be a really big challenge for the season to get going this year. No way that you can contain this the way how it's being handled right now. Once people adjust their minds and start adapting to this new way of living, that's when we're going to be able to see the curve starting to drop.
The Chinese Basketball Association has been in limbo since January 24th. They are targeting a restart in late April in a COVID-friendly space. More than a dozen former NBA players are part of the CBA, including beloved ex-Knick Jeremy Lin. Many who believe the recent 10-year NFL collective bargaining agreement went over smoothly may be mistaken, according to players such as free agent safety Eric Reed. His lawyer sent a letter to the NFL demanding a revote and investigation that they altered the language after the ratification on March 15th. The CBA runs from 2020 to 2030 and passed by a narrow margin of 52% yes to 48% no. And the NCAA, which often receives criticism from players, coaches, and fans, earned a major win in the court of public opinion on Monday, voting for spring athletes across the board, not just seniors, to receive an extra year of eligibility due to championships being canceled because of the virus. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Thank you, Rob. 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with a cover on 3M's plans to make 1 billion face masks by year's end. We spoke with 3M CEO Mike Roman about the effort.
We've been working very closely with the government. We've been working with Vice President Pence, looking at how to make sure that we can shift what have been the industrial N95 respirators into healthcare.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. And terminal customers can get a complimentary subscription at MAGGO. Listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Radio or watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device at youtube.com. Just search Bloomberg Global News. It's 5:38 on Wall Street, and that's time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Tenants in New York City would be allowed to use existing security deposits to pay April rent.
under a plan floated by local officials to help ease the financial hardships caused by the coronavirus pandemic. They would have 30 days to pay the money back or choose to obtain a low-cost insurance option. Lawyers in New York are trying to expand access to free legal advice during expected increases in coronavirus-related disputes. The State Bar Association and court system said in a statement yesterday that they're putting together a network of pro bono lawyers that could respond to legal issues that arise out of the crisis. A temporary ban on cigarette sales in New York, which is reportedly being considered by the governor, would be an ill-informed move that would achieve little. This is according to Jefferies analyst Owen Bennett. He says it would do more harm than good. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WLW in Cincinnati, I'm reporting that Macy's is among the big retailers announcing massive furloughs in response to the coronavirus.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Oil prices are heading for its worst quarter on record.
I'm Caroline Hepke, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio here in London. We're reporting on the growing row over how many people the government is testing for coronavirus.
I'm Steve Podoskin on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about Amazon firing an employee who led a strike at a warehouse in Staten Island over coronavirus safety conditions.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Ford is speeding up plans to build ventilators.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following, if U.S. airlines want a share of coronavirus aid, they're going to have to give up something in return. Airlines will have to propose upfront how the federal government could retain financial stakes in their companies. That is according to new Treasury Department guidelines. Futures moving higher this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And a reminder to listeners working from home and elsewhere, Bloomberg Radio is available on all the apps, Bloomberg Business, Radio.com, iHeart, SiriusXM, and TuneIn, as well as Bloomberg.com and on the terminal at RADI Go.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are climbing along with U.S. stock index futures for the fifth time in succession, spurring investor debate over whether the meltdown has ended given the continued spread of the coronavirus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 13 points, Dow futures up 108, NASDAQ futures up 73, the DAX in Germany's up 2.1%. 10-year Treasury up 12/32, yield 0.68%, the yield on the 2-year 0.22%. NYMEX crude oil is up 6.4%, up $1.28 to $21.38 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.5% or $24.10 at $16.19.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0970 against the dollar, British pound 1.2328, and the yen 108.44, the VIX at 55.57. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the mounting death toll from the coronavirus outbreak in the United States has it poised to overtake China's grim tally of 3,300 deaths, with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo saying up to 1 million more healthcare workers are needed in the city. President Trump told reporters he believes the next 30 days are important for flattening the curve to stop the outbreak of coronavirus. Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva has retracted an order to close gun stores to slow the spread of the virus. Last week, the National Rifle Association and other groups sued the sheriff, saying his order violated Second Amendment rights. Meanwhile, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy said he was lifting a temporary ban on the sale of guns in the state during the coronavirus crisis. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion. Informed perspectives and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
It is now 5:49 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and it's time now to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. We are joined live now by Clara Ferrer-Marquez, the Bloomberg Opinion columnist in Hong Kong this morning. Clara, your piece this morning reads, Food Supply is the next virus headache. We've all seen supermarket shelves emptying out. That's got to be partly because of panic buying. Is this what you're talking about?
It's a little bigger than that. But, I mean, I will say just in terms of what people see in supermarket shelves, a lot of that is down to the extremely complex modern supply chains and the fact that a lot of city supermarkets just don't have that much stock. There are some concerns about protecting workers, you know, providing protective equipment to workers who make those last mile deliveries, and that will cause some disruption. But what I'm really looking at here is the bigger picture. So how your wheat will be grown and get to your table. So what the coronavirus will do in terms of disruptions and everything from planting to workers in fields to ports. And we have seen a few worrying signs.
So this is more of a logistical type of thing.
Well, yes. I mean, that is a very large part of it. And if you think about it, one of the things that we haven't been able to do because of the coronavirus is move around. And there is a lot of moving around that happens in agricultural markets. So whether it's seeds and fertilizers getting to farmers, for example, in China, that was a really big deal because the spring planting season was just about to start. So it's towards the end of February, beginning of March, spring planting season, that all sort of was confused by the coronavirus lockdowns. And we're seeing that now in Europe as Europe goes into it goes into its own planting season. So it's about moving that around. It's about moving feed to poultry farms. It's about moving farm workers. In Australia needs migrant workers or backpackers often who go and pick fruit. They're not able to move around the way they used to. And then you have at ports, for example, we have problems in some of the coffee shipping ports and food processing plants. Think about all those steps in your food chain that are now being disrupted.
That sounds like you're saying we can expect food inflation at some point.
Well, actually, there is some good news. So in the flood of bad news, and we all just heard the headlines, it's pretty dramatic out there. There is some good news here. We are not approaching this crisis from the point of high food prices where, you know, if you think back to where we were in 2008, 2011, those were really periods of really high food prices. That, we're not that bad at the moment. We are coming at this with very good global stocks of things like corn, wheat, soybeans, rice, much better than where we were before. Also, a lot of basic foodstuffs are actually quite cheap because of cheap oil. So things like sugar and corn are no longer so attractive for biofuels producers, so they become very, very cheap. And farmers, of course, benefit from things like low crude prices, also low fertilizer. So those are the that's the good news. But once you start seeing these disruptions, once you start seeing countries lifting, imposing restrictions, rather, on exports, which we've seen a few, we haven't seen that many, we've seen a few, that certainly implies that we will see a little bit of increase in prices, especially given that in some parts of the world, we had already seen some fairly significant disruptions, drought, Southeast Asia and Australia, locusts in Africa, African swine flu hitting pig production in China. So a little bit of concern there.
You know, for the populist, does this then make an argument against relying on foreign producers?
Well, I think two things. One is we will certainly see after this a return to the grown at home, you know, people going back to, especially for fresh produce, because really what we're talking about, the disruption here that we will see as consumers is probably going to be in fresh produce, your air-flown strawberries, your fresh meat from Australia that we really depend on here in Greater China, Hong Kong. So those will be where you will see the first disruption. So there maybe you will see a return to grown at home. For the rest, actually, trade is the best remedy that we have to keep produce, to keep the inputs, keep seeds, fertilizer, to keep that moving around. Otherwise, people will suffer. And as always, it'll be the poorer emerging markets, the countries that really depend on food imports that will suffer the most.
Yeah, in terms of that, I look at rice as maybe a staple, especially for the world's more vulnerable population. What does the share of income also that they spend on food, what does that then become? And is that the staple maybe to focus on for the world's more vulnerable populations?
Well, rice is a really interesting one. It's been very badly hit by the Southeast Asian drought. So Thailand and Vietnam have seen terrible conditions of worst drought in 40 years. And that has driven up rice prices. And that's also that's also prompted some of the measures that we've seen Vietnam take. And obviously that does have a really big impact because there's knock-ons to other countries in the region, the Philippines, for example, an importer, and countries in Africa. If you think about what happened there during the Ebola crisis, one of the great consequences was rising rice prices.
Okay.
That really affects people.
Thank you very much. Bloomberg opinion columnist Clara Ferrer-Marquez joining us from Hong Kong. Pleasure speaking to you. You can read more on these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the terminal by typing O-P-I-N Go. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Email and e-signature policies have been loosened by the Internal Revenue Service to allow taxpayers and their advisors to complete tasks remotely during the coronavirus pandemic. Businesses and trade groups in San Francisco want a return of their payment to the city's Pay or Play Employee Health Coverage Fund. They want to use the money to pay workers who have lost wages. The Fifth Circuit ruled that language in a State Farm contract was ambiguous. A class action suit challenging the way the insurance company pays homeowners can proceed.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story we're watching includes developments in the college admissions scandal. Full House star Lori Loughlin and 13 other parents are now claiming they were the ones scammed by the government. And they're asking a federal judge to throw out the case against them. For more on their defense, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to former federal prosecutor Peter Henning, a professor at Wayne State University Law School.
Peter, the parents are claiming that new evidence shows the FBI pushed the ringleader to invent evidence against them. What do they have?
Well, their argument here is that Rick Singer, that the agents yelled at him, told him to lie on recorded calls, told him not to mention any exculpatory information that he had previously told his clients, and also that they entrapped a parent. And so I think what we may see in this case is an entrapment defense, which is that the parents weren't predisposed to commit a crime, but that Rick Singer was there entrapping them because he was a government agent at that time, and in his phone calls with the various parents, that he was a government agent, and therefore an entrapment defense might well work.
And that's Wayne State University law professor Peter Henning speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures this morning on the rise. S&P futures up 17 points. Dow futures up 144. NASDAQ futures up about 80. And the 10-year Treasury up 11/32nds. Yield 0.69%. The yield on the 2-year 0.22%. The euro 1.0976 against the dollar. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.